It's hard to see yourself represented on the silver screen. In a world with less available roles to us, this industry can be so mean. So we're gonna make some changes in this town. Turn the male-driven media upside down. There's nothing that a woman can't do. So act like a girl, we're here to support you.
Okay, everyone, so we're here at the Women in Comedy event, Inside Jokes.
Okay.
We've got, I mean, you've got Susie as always and Susie
Tracy
Dunn.
Walker.
What's up? Act like a girl. Okay, who are we here with? Tell us who you guys
are. Hi, I'm Tuesday Thomas and none of you are.
Ah, like that hoe. Tuesday got that Hollywood name. Tuesday Thomas.
That's why I got the alliteration.
Is that your?
I was born to be on stage.
That's
yes,
your
you
that's
were.
Your government yeah. name?
Tuesday Thomas.
You pick up the.
For real?
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, I like Tracy Walker,
man,
too.
Man, it sounds like
no,
a
Tracy Walker's
though.
A good name.
Yeah.
And Susie Dunn, we all have good names.
Good names, yeah.
I'm sorry. It's hard for me to hear you, Susie.
I just said Susie Dunn is also a good
yeah.
name.
Yeah.
We all have good names.
I'm just tooting my own
Susie,
horn.
Susie done it. She yeah. done it.
She done it already. Been there, done that.
Okay, Tuesday, what do you do?
What do? I'm an actress. I'm a comedian. And I also run Freak Show.
What is Freak Show?
Freak
Tell
Show
us about Freak
is
Show.
The top underground show in L.A. It has circus sideshow acts, performance art, stand-up comedy, character comedy, musical comedy, and bands.
Dope.
And it's been selling out for 2 years straight.
And you're the creator, right?
Like 200 people.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Aren't you the creator?
Yeah, I started it in a small venue like over 2.5 years ago and built it up within 6 months and then moved it to this really large venue. That the venue has a museum of oddities. With like mummies
that's
on
so
display.
Cool.
It's a perfect brand.
That's so perfect.
Tracy's oh been God. There. She's been on the show
I
a
love
couple
it.
Times.
That's
it's
so
fun.
Dope.
I mean, you
how often is it?
Yeah.
It's first Saturday of every month.
First Saturday of every month.
At
what
the
time?
California Institute for Abnormal Arts at Burbank and Lancashire. And it's 8 p.m. doors, $10
oh
cover. You can go to Freak Show LA. You can hashtag Freak Show LA.
Facebook,
LA Weekly Instagram.
Gave y'all a shout out,
that's
right?
The dream.
Did LA Weekly give you a shout out?
Yeah, we got a shout out from LA Weekly. We filmed as a pilot. We're in talks right now to go to series. And
woohoo!
Dope.
Yeah,
that's
it's
so.
Fun.
That's
it's
the
fun.
Dream.
It's a weird, dark. You know, if you took like the Gong Show or Sonny
yeah,
and Cher,
it's
like a gothic Sonny and Cher.
Dope.
If you took the Gong Show and made it really dark and
yeah.
twisted and bizarre.
Yes.
You
that's
know,
what you do. Yeah.
That's what we do.
That's so cool.
And our tagline is a gothic Sonny and Cher because I work with a partner and co-host, co-producer Cyrus Naderpour.
I love Cyrus.
Cyrus is great.
Shout out to Cyrus.
So wonderful to work with. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've been doing it 2 years
at
this location.
Too. Getting the right partner and team matters, right?
That's
yeah,
our hard
right
part.
And team.
You have to.
You have to.
I was talking about that to. Earlier with Jewel, with Melanie Vesti, that's who I was talking about it with. And you have to be friends with the person
yes.
first.
Oh, for sure.
You have to be friends because the great thing about Cyrus and I is like we were friends first. And
see,
then
we
I brought him on.
First, but
because if
respect,
you're not.
Too.
Well, that's the thing. When you're friends first, you know, we can talk to each other any way we have to. If we get upset, I can be like, look, I am not Baba. And he's like, okay.
But he's a dude and you're a girl too. So.
But still, like being friends, you can talk to that person. When you're upset, maybe there's some external things going on that you're not aware of that's making you a little more upset. It's nice when you have a friend, whether it's male or female,
acceptance.
To be like bring you back down, going,
yeah,
okay, I get
right.
your point.
Right, right.
How
right.
was your day?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, to get you out of that and be
to
like, let's talk
you.
About
yeah.
what the
yeah.
real problem. And they don't take
yeah.
it personally.
Right, right. And they accept you for who you are, whether up or down.
Right,
right.
right.
That's what I find with Susie, too. We're great partners because she doesn't judge me. I don't feel judged at all.
No.
And I know I ain't perfect.
I you fell on my face last night. I can't
she
judge
said three
anyone.
Wines, Tracy, and I fell.
Three glasses of wine, and I
three
fell
wine.
On my fucking face last night. White wine
I'm not
girl
judging.
Wasted.
I'm not
white wine girl wasted.
Right. You know, that's the thing. You don't judge. You know that they've
yes.
got your back at the end of the day
but
because
Cyrus
they were
is
a friend first.
He's an
that's
exceptional
so cool.
person, though, Cyrus. And so are you. Because you, what I learned working with you, because you used to edit my rep series, she's a hard worker, but she's a boss. You know what I'm saying? And everybody can't. Follow direction of boss because they might be insecure, they might be intimidated, they might be jealous. She don't give a fuck. She gonna tell you what she want out of you, and you
and you're gonna
her.
Deliver.
Gonna
yeah.
yeah,
yeah.
But that's why she got her show.
That's
but I
so
explained
dope.
It. You know, I
that's
explained
why you
it like, okay,
show.
If I'm gonna book you or I'm gonna work with you, this is what I
this
need.
Is what
I
order.
Need.
Yeah,
I'm a New Yorker, so People think New York people are bitchy.
Right.
No.
Right.
No.
Right.
They just know what they want.
I let you know what I'm about. And it's your choice to deal with me or not.
Right.
If you choose to deal with me and then you don't like it, that's on you. Because I tell you right up front what I'm all about, who I am. What you see is what you get.
You sure do.
I send out booking notices. I ask people. I'm like, you wanted me on the show? I expect you to do this level of promotion. I expect you to do this. I expect you to be here then and that. And I tell everybody, if none of this is acceptable, please let me know and I'll book you another time.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no problem if you can't do it at this date and time. But if you are agreeing, this is what I have to have.
Right.
And I don't think there's anything wrong
with
that.
But you have a balance, to me, with being a boss and having a heart, though. That's what I find with you.
I'm sorry.
You have a balance with being a boss and having a heart. It's the same. You know what I mean? Like,
you have to.
Yeah, you can come off like, but I find with you, you have a heart just as big. Just as big as your,
you
know, because that's the only way that we got along. Remember when we first met?
Yeah.
You were like on the line. Well, I think it was Jenner. Bruce Jenner, when he changed.
Caitlyn Jenner.
What problem do you have with calling him a she? I was like, hold up. Wait a minute. Now, I'm going to say.
She called you out?
Yes.
Yeah, because, you know, it's one of those things. Tracy's amazing. For BLM, the African American rights, Black Lives Matters, all that. She's spot on about everything she calls
out. But I had to open up.
Spot on. Yeah. But then I saw like a post where she was like Bruce Jenner and kept saying he. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I agree with you on this.
Yeah.
But you got to respect.
Right.
If Caitlyn wants to be she, you have to say it.
Yeah.
Whether you agree with it or not.
Yeah. But you had a heart about it.
Because it's not about you.
Because you got mad because you were like, I'm going to block you. And I sent you a private message saying, well, I don't want to upset you, but this is my point of view.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, wow, you came at me in a
like,
really
oh,
good
lovey
way.
Dove, that's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Lovey dovey at the end.
I
love the game.
Love
me too.
That.
I love. They're the only one to help me out here. For real, I've been home.
Because we're all in it together.
The only people that ever helped me out of every hardship is LGBT community, period.
You got every to hardship. Be in it for everybody.
You do. That's the only way. Intersectional. You
know, it's got
to
be progressive for everybody. That's what I was just telling her. We were just talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Women's rights, gay rights, black, because what everything is happening nowadays, they try to divide and conquer.
Yeah.
They want
split.
Tracy to say gay rights don't matter because all she's concentrating on is, you know, the black rights.
Right, right.
And if in doing that, then they can take away the gays and then nobody's there to fight for her.
Right.
That's what it is. That's fascism right there.
That's exactly what it is.
Take away the most disenfranchised group first. And then the next biggest one, and the next biggest one, and then nobody's there to take care of anybody.
Yeah. That's like that famous quote about the Holocaust. That's like they came for
truth. Yeah, truth with that. That's what a lot of people don't realize. They're like, I'm too busy trying to take care of my people. Well, in reality, your people is all people.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
it's so true.
You know, whatever they're gonna do when the buildings crumble and the dust settles. All we got is each other.
Yeah.
And if we can't get along, we're fucked.
When the bank
breaks. We are so fucked if we can't get along. We can't find some common ground.
Yes.
You might as well just.
We all we got.
Yeah.
We might as well start over.
Yeah. It's like, let's enjoy each other, and then we can move forward. You know what I mean? Like we're doing now.
Yeah.
If me and you can do it, and I didn't even know you then, everybody should be able to do it. You know what I mean? Come on.
Exactly. You know, it's all about how you approach people, too.
Yeah.
Like, I had an incident with an African-American comedian who was from Compton. And all this stuff was going on, and women were like, we can't book him because he's misogynistic because of one joke that he made on his Facebook page. I went to him, and I said, look, I just recently met you. I have you booked on a show. Could you please explain what you meant by what you wrote on Facebook? And he did. And I'm like, okay, I see that. But I also took the time to say, this man came from Compton, grew up there, had a life that was completely different than mine. I have to understand where he's coming from
to accept that. Yeah.
And there was nothing misogynistic or malicious in what he said. But if you are a white person, and especially a white woman, who has never lived a life that like he had.
Right.
You wouldn't see it. And all you're going to do is scream it. And all these people were screaming and yelling at him publicly on Facebook. So, of course, that maleness, that ghetto mentality that he grew up with, that testosterone all, and he's going to defend himself because that's what he knows.
Right.
But I came at it a different way, and, you know, I'm like, okay, you can be on my show. I don't know. You explained it. I'm
good
with
it. Are you talking about the comedian that was on Breakfast Club? Are you talking about the comedian that was on the Breakfast Club? That was a big thing,
No. I don't want to mention names, but, you know, it was a big deal in a lot of the women's Facebook groups and stuff, and I'm like, y'all can't just publicly attack him. You got to find out where his
you got to talk to him. Yeah.
Listen to the man.
Yeah.
And realize he came from a war zone.
Yeah. No, seriously.
And that's what I like about you.
We're white cops. Yeah. We're killing black people. Where the men had to be in charge.
Yeah.
Where the men were angry because they were disenfranchised. Yeah. Where women acted up, where a lot of fathers weren't there. I mean, you got to take a lot of shit into consideration before you condemn somebody for two sentences on Facebook.
Right.
No way.
Yeah, you have to be considerate.
You just, like, sometimes you just post shit on social media and you, like, it's not, I don't know, like, I think, like, people are still learning that when you post stuff on social media, it's, like, on there and it's forever and it's, like, cemented, you know, but that social media is so new and it's so polarizing and, like, people just judge you so quickly off of, like you said, like two sentences that
What's wrong with sending a message saying, I'm sorry? What was your intent behind that?
This is what I think.
But see, that's what I mean by you having a heart. Most people don't even want to consider that.
They don't take the time.
They just want to attack.
That's why you turned me around. Yeah. You turned me around. And by you turning me around, I was prepared for my next step would act like a girl. Because guess what? I have to interview transgenders and I have to use the right pronouns and everything.
Right.
But I have to have a heart for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, just like I have to, like I know that you come from the South.
Yeah.
I know what the South is
about.
I've lived in the South.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. That line, you know, what Tracy said, might not be the way I'd say it, but I get it, and it's funny as fuck.
Right.
And she's right. But that's what you got to understand about people. There's no way to live together unless you... Like, somebody once said to me, I hate when, like, Asians are, like, all up in me in line. You know,
they're
pushy. And I'm like, well, you don't understand their culture.
Where they come from. Oh, my God, I just was in Japan.
Where they come from, if they're not pushy and they don't get to the front of the line,
they don't get
what they need.
Yeah, no, you can't exist like that.
So what I do is I just turn around and say, hey, how are you? You know, you can stand back a little. It's okay. There's plenty for everybody. And I do it in a nice way. And 9 times out of 10, they're like, oh, yeah. And they'll step back.
Yeah. Or I've done that. Or I've just been like, you know what? You can go ahead of me.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just be like, go ahead.
There's plenty for everybody.
That's fine. I'll go after you. Yeah.
I actually heard an Asian cop. I said Asian cop. Know what my mind is. An Asian comic say that they don't have that spatial recognition.
No.
You know, they don't have. No.
It just doesn't exist.
They don't have personal space because it's so crowded and things over there.
So you have to be considerate. It's just intelligent, you know?
Yeah. It's what they're used to.
Yeah. Okay, Tuesday, thank you so much for talking to us.
Oh, you're welcome. I can't wait.
So, the first Saturday of every month.
Freak Show LA on Facebook. #FreakShowLA Freak Show LA.
It's a must-see.
For more information.
Dope.
And you can RSVP through the Facebook page. And what did you say? I'm coming up on something in September.
Oh, yeah, September 24th. You're going to be on our show at Nerd Melt at 7 p.m. Act Like a Girl Show.
I can't wait.
It's for the Downtown Women's Center.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Some homeless comedians like myself and Tuesday.
You know,
we're going to
give it to you.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be great.
So fun.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Here, we'll record. Tell us who you are first.
Hi, it's me, Kate Huffman.
Our old friend.
Yes. She's back.
I've been on this show.
Yes, you have. And, okay, Kate is the creator and performer of Too Fat for This Show. I'm Too Fat for This Show.
I'm Too Fat for This Show, correct.
And you were just saying you're touring with it?
Oh, yeah. She was saying she missed it. I'm not going to be doing it in the Los Angeles area for a second just because I was a little burnt out on promoting to this audience, but I'm trying to tour with it as much as possible. Right now I have some dates in Indianapolis, and I'm also like working to make a series out of it.
Awesome!
Got a pilot in the works.
So good.
That's where I'm at.
Are you from Indy?
I'm from Indianapolis.
Are you from Indianapolis?
Yes, I
am. Yeah, you are. Okay, yeah.
I thought you said India. It's quite loud in here.
No,
and I was like, I would be so badass, but I do not have dates in India. India, if you're listening.
Yes, India.
Please put me up.
yeah, no, India. You know the lingo.
Yeah, yeah. I'm from Michigan, you know.
Wait, that's even
Maybe we should pause. I feel like we should pause. Okay, we're back with Kate.
Hi.
Hi, Upman.
We just had a very awesome Skype in.
Yes.
Info
about like
Chicago.
It's high info
about branding.
I mean,
it's
good stuff to think about.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know how much insight I got.
Yeah, because you already produced the whole wrote and produced the whole show.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like reading it. I'm like, yeah, this is the stuff I like. I mean, how do you contact the people
right.
who you want to produce your shows? I'm like, I don't know. That's I mean. But
that's
yes, we should go home and keep thinking about it. How do we reach them, guys?
Okay, Kate. Who are your favorite comedians right now? Who do you look up to? They don't have to be stand-ups. Like, they could be, you know, like any kind of comedy. Who are your people that you're like?
Well, gosh, my favorite show that I'm watching right now, I think it's Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I love it so much. I love comedy about, like, decent people who are, like, trying hard. Like,
right.
Parks and Rec was my favorite as well.
I love Parks and Rec.
I don't... Gosh, is there that much... Name some things. I'm drawing a blank.
I
feel like I'm watching old shows right now. I just finished rewatching Enlightened. It's so season 2 of Enlightened is so
I haven't
freaking
seen that.
Good. Oh my goodness!
I
Go watch
seen
it.
That.
It's great.
All right,
I love it.
Yeah.
What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say that I've been watching so much drama lately. So many dramas.
Yeah.
That I haven't been watching a lot of comedy, which is very unlike me.
Comedy, yeah, I need comedy.
I need to watch more comedy.
Me too. I watch more comedies generally, but like,
yeah, same. But like lately, I've been watching.
What I've been watching recently.
Well, I've been watching.
I watched Fleabag. Fleabag is great.
Oh, Fleabag is so fucking good.
So great. Yeah,
I told you about Fleabag.
Fleabag.
I think.
Check it out.
You do. It's on Hulu.
I was inspired to watch it since it came from a solo show.
Yeah,
that is what I'm trying to do. It would be a very different show, but she started as a solo show.
And it's very dark, also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that is some. Bumping music.
Okay. What has been your experience as a woman in the comedy business?
Oh, probably.
Like, what has it been like?
Probably a lot like everyone else's in that, you know, well, I've been doing it for a very long time. The stand-up scene can be a challenge. At least it was when I was doing it more. I'm not really as much. But, like, the feeling of, like, walking into a green room and having people kind of like look up at you like nobody wants you here. I got that feeling a lot, and I'm like this cheesy little Midwestern girl that would be like, hey everybody, what's up, you're great to have a good show, and like they want none of it.
Yeah.
But then you get to the improv and sketch world, which I found to be much more of a community setting. And I think because we're such, I mean, you still deal inevitably all the time with lighthearted misogyny being acceptable, you know.
He's
and in the
so
beginning,
good at his
you just
job,
sort of
though.
Like, what?
I said he's so good at his job, though.
Ha! Yeah, I think early on you just kind of like accept it you know, a lot of times you don't even think to question it. You're just like, all right, let's. Yes and this, right?
Right.
And then you just kind of, like, get older and more sick of it.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't have to for 2 minutes pretend that your, like, inability to pass Bechdel doesn't piss me off.
Yes.
Because it fucking does.
Yes.
I was in a screenwriting class recently, and, like, the teacher's curriculum, there were... no films that passed Bechdel.
No.
And I finally, there were 8 women and 2 guys in the class. And I finally just like said something and I felt kind of bad because I was friends with him and he was kind of like, I don't give a shit about Bechdel. Like he said that. And I was like,
what?
So angry and just kind of like, the bar of Bechdel is so insultingly low.
It's
insultingly low.
It's so easy. Yeah, it's
when
so
you
easy.
Can't hit it. And the sad thing is, there were young girls in the class who thought that I was the crazy one. Like, I can see myself becoming the crazy old lady.
Oh, my right. God.
Because I remember looking at that, like, oh, just shut your mouth. Who cares? We're being involved in storytelling. It's good, right? Like, they were like, it doesn't matter as long as it's, you know, truthful storytelling with emotion. And I'm like, no, idiots, it fucking matters. Yeah. And you're not idiots, you're young. But, like...
But it fucking matters.
You cannot just give two women a name and let them not talk about a man. That's all you have to do?
That's all you have to do. It's so
simple. And it
doesn't
even have to be, like, part of an agenda. Like, this character in this one screenplay that's like... She has a scene with a boss, and like, the rest of it is just her and the dude, you know, rom-com style. And then all the bad guys, of course, are mostly men. But, like, it's like, just make the boss a woman, and there, done.
That's it.
That's all you had to do, and now you're, like, not quite as gross. Anyway, so that turned into a rant real quick.
No, I love that so much. That was a great rant.
I mean, the younger generation, I mean, we have to teach them. We have to instill it in them because we've come too far for them to take us back. You know what I mean? They don't even want the basics.
Yeah.
No, that's basic.
Yeah. We're so, at least where I am, so socialized to just be complacent that
complacency
it takes so long to, so many years of living to undo it all and then finally be like, okay, and then realize, like, I see young people looking at me like I'm crazy, and I'm not. You guys will figure this out.
Yeah, it's just
it's real.
And if you let me help you, it'll take you less time.
Yeah.
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 Okay, Kate, how do we find you?
How do you find me?
Yeah, how do we follow you? How do we keep up with you?
I'm on Facebook as Kate Huffman. There's a lot of us. Just you'll figure out it's me. I'm pretty quick because I post a lot of dumb stuff about comedy. I'm Too Fat for This Show is on Instagram. I'm Too Fat for This Show has a Facebook page as well that you can like. I'm on Twitter at Kate_Huffman. And I perform at I.O. every second Sunday at 9 with Drug Money.
Yes. Great. Thank you so much for talking
to us. Awesome. Nice having you back again. I love your shirt. It's so girly.
Yeah, that's
so cute.
Great.
We actually got it together on a thrift store run in Vegas.
Yes. Okay, wait. Who are you guys? Tell us who you guys are.
We're the Hot Goss.
Hot Goss.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Hot Goss.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And tell me your names.
I'm Lindsay.
I'm Steph.
I'm Rebecca.
Great. We're so excited to have you guys here. Okay, tell us what you do.
We do political comedy. I would say that wraps up what we do pretty nicely. We do like sketches, and we have a blog and a podcast that's going to be coming out on the What's a Creative
brand.
The Hot Goss News.
Oh, that's great.
And also we have a period podcast that's going to be launching soon.
Yeah, I don't know the exact date that'll
period
be on.
Period is in menstrual?
Yeah.
Dope.
It's called That's My Story Period. It's a storytelling podcast.
Dope. Do you guys know Happy Periods?
Yeah. We just discovered them, actually.
Yeah.
Our show on Thursday, we collected supplies for them. They're dope.
Oh, cool. Spot.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. You
guys should
talk to them. They're very into collaborative
shit.
Oh, cool. So, yeah.
We wanted to, at one point, do a live show with it.
Yeah, storytelling and then doing, like, kits and raising money and everything. Yeah.
Dope.
For menstrual education, awareness, health, all that stuff.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so what brings you guys here today?
Well, we were actually one of the sponsors of the event. We connected Julianne with one of the speakers, but I guess she couldn't be here. So now we're just like, oh, sorry. And then we also gave little lip glosses all out in the swag bags. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Hot gloss.
Hot. Exactly.
You got it.
You get it. Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I have a...
We have some questions. I don't have... Let's see. Off the top of my head, I just want to know, how did you ladies meet?
Oh, yeah. That's a good question.
Rebecca, why don't you take that one?
Yeah, I'll take this one. We all, for a while, were performing at the Nerdist School.
Oh, okay.
And so we were on improv teams there and sketch teams, and we just kind of... connected somehow and started building something bigger on our own. So, yeah.
That's dope.
And the Hot Goss actually is a little bit of an inside thing where we start all of our meetings with 10 minutes of just quote-unquote goss with each other, and that's how we, like, just connect and, like,
dope.
All of our meetings are just 10 minutes of talking. It's great. And then And then business.
And then business.
We're real business.
Then we get to real business. And we also have hot gossip in our text messages that starts with the alarm. You know, the like siren?
The emoji?
Yeah, those emojis go off. Then we know some good gossip.
Yes, that's so good.
Then
I love
it's
that.
All goss on
Pay
deck.
Pay attention.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Why do you guys think it's important for women to support each other, especially in the comedy arena?
Because I think back to I believe it was like a Tina Fey quote where when she started SNL, there was this idea that there could only be so many women. And she was like, well, that's dumb. Why can't we all be here?
Right.
And I think for me at that moment when I had read that quote, I was like, yeah, why does it have to be a competition between all women? And it's definitely a divisive way to separate women and make it so we don't work together.
And be competitive towards each other. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
But competitive in the wrong way.
Yes.
Right.
Totally.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we don't collaborate. And then they know that we're, you know, individually we're not as strong as we can be.
Right. Together. Right. Tina Fey couldn't be Tina Fey without
Amy Poehler.
Exactly.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got it. You know.
We're all stronger together. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, hold on, we'll pause. How do we follow Hot Goss? How do we find Hot Goss?
You can find us at thehotgoss.com. So that's thehotgoss.com. And you can find us on Pinterest, on Instagram, on Facebook, Twitter. We're everywhere.
Yeah, y'all got all
covered. What's a Creative? We're going to be doing a podcast there too.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you guys.
All right. So who are you?
I feel like such a rapper right now with this mic.
Yeah, right up into it.
DJ Amy Anderson.
Hi, I'm Amy Anderson.
Comedian extraordinaire. What?
We got another one.
We got another one. Okay. All this power, girl power music.
Yes.
No.
Okay, Amy, what do you do?
I'm a comedian, and I'm an actor, and a writer, a singer. I do it all except dance. Shitty dancer.
And a mom.
There's no such thing as shitty dancing.
You know, I try to not be self-conscious about it, but I think because I just didn't do any kind of sports or physical movement, anything growing up, I feel like such a loser when I try to dance. I've got rhythm, because I'm a musician.
I've got that rhythm part down.
But I feel like I'm just like... I'm such a dork when I dance.
That's the biggest part, the rhythm. Oh, you got the rhythm.
I know. I've just got to be... I know I'm, like, stiff. I'm, like, a white person.
Are you, like...
I have to be drunk. You know?
Yeah, That's how I used to drunk for, like, the first half of my life.
I have at least a couple of drinks before
me
I get
too.
On the floor.
Yeah, so, like, a couple. Yeah. At least a couple.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay. So where do you think women should be more represented in comedy? Where do you think we're missing?
Comedy? You know what? I think here are the two things that I think are most important, because we've had female performers forever and whatever. But the bottom line is that if we don't have women in industry executive positions and we don't have women in the writers' rooms,
then we don't have women.
Women are not going to be represented on screen or on stage as much as they should be. And not to, like, call out my daughter's show, but, like, my daughter is on a very well-known sitcom that's won several Emmys and has been on for many seasons, and there's only, like, a couple women in that whole writer's room.
Wow.
That's changed over. There were more women in the past, but, you know, and it makes me sad to see that, because there are several women in the cast. And not that they don't write well for the women, but it's like, wow, I mean, this is, like, a huge show, and it's too bad there aren't more women. And there's hardly any. There's only, like, two people of color, too, on the writing staff. So I want to see more of that, you know. And also I think people of color and women of color are so tired of, like, oh, well, you know, you feel like there's no opportunities, you have to make your own opportunities. We're always being told you have to write your own stuff, you have to write your own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how about we just get represented fairly and normally in real roles?
Right.
Like, we're real people in the world. Like, we're all kinds of different people. Like, why are our stories not being told?
And why do we have to work, like, so extra hard to get it to? It's so
stupid. Damn it.
It's hard as hell already. You know, life hard enough.
It is hard out here for a bitch.
Exactly. It is.
So, Amy, when did you start your comedy career?
What?
When and where did you start your comedy career?
I've been a comedian for 20 years.
Yeah.
I think I'm the oldest person at this Women in Comedy Conference.
No, I think I am.
you and I could be neck and neck, I think.
Yeah.
But, I started in Minneapolis. I grew up in the suburbs of Minnesota. I went to college out east, and then I went back after I graduated in whatever, the 90s. And I, oh my God, it feels like so long ago now. But I, just for fun, I was like waiting on tables. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I had a degree in education. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't want to teach. And so I decided to sign up for an improv comedy class just for something fun to do. And I was hooked right away.
Wow.
So I performed and taught improv for years. I started doing stand-up like a year and a half after that. And then I started auditioning for like local commercials and theater. I did quite a bit of theater and just kind of did a little bit of everything. And I loved it. And I think I always had wanted to do something in performing, but I was always a musician as a kid. And I wasn't really encouraged to do other things other than just go to school and do music. So I kind of realized, I'm like, oh, I'm an adult. I can do whatever the hell I want now. And
yeah.
So I never look back. That was 20 years ago. So, I mean, my stand-up anniversary is St. Patrick's Day of 1997.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Did you did a St. Patrick's Day show for your first show?
St. Patrick's Day show. Yeah, it just happened to be on St. Patrick's Day.
Wow. That's amazing. Were they drunk as hell? Was the audience, was the audience drunk as hell? The audience.
Probably. It was at the Acme Comedy Club in Minneapolis.
Oh, so yes. In Minneapolis, yes.
Fun.
So what about your music? What kind of music did you play?
Classical music. I went to the Music Conservatory. And
wow.
I studied classical music for 4 years. And I graduated with a degree in music education.
Where did you go?
I went to a small conservatory in Princeton. It's called Westminster Choir College.
Cool.
And it's an amazing school. They're really known for their choir program. Wow. And all the students there have to sing in a choir all 4 years that they're there.
Amazing.
And our school's chorus is the chorus in residence for the New York Philharmonic and the Philadelphia Orchestra. So I got to sing on stage with like Pavarotti and Carmuti and Carol
Shut
Dines.
Up. Wow. Shut up.
I mean, Sam.
That's
Messi,
so
like,
cool.
All these amazing people.
Wow.
I sang at Carnegie Hall, Lincoln Center, Philadelphia Academy of Music. It was an amazing experience. And I kind of miss that, but like, it's so different from my personality because I'm a lot more irreverent than classical music.
Yes.
And
yeah,
I felt like it was a little too stuffy for me. So that's why I decided not to continue.
And
plus, I knew that like, I didn't have like a great enough of a voice to be a professional opera singer. I have a really small voice for a singer. And it just wasn't my style. Like, I love the music. I love classical music. But so I just decided
love comedy
to tell
more?
Dick jokes instead.
Yeah. So do you love comedy more than anything, like the teacher degree, the music,
you know,
experience?
I came to L.A. to act because I love doing comedy. I don't think I'll ever stop doing it, like no matter what. I think I always want to do
stand-up.
That's how
I feel, too, yeah.
Yeah, but like I came here because I wanted to be on screen. Like I wanted to do TV or film. And then I got here and I don't know if I ever really told you about this. We still got to go on that hike, girl. But
yeah, I know.
For like 3 years.
Forever. This time for real.
That's the most LA. Okay, now that it's not like 100 degrees every day, I'm going to make it happen.
She still goes.
Yeah, I still try.
She still goes.
I try.
Because I'm fat as hell.
I'm a puss in that heat.
I'm giving her so much side eye right now. I'm giving Tracy the most side eye right now.
I love her playing like every woman in pussy song.
Yes. Obviously. Brie.
My 70s. They went right away.
Giant it. Play it.
Brie Geiger.
But what the hell were we talking about? We were talking acting. So I really want to act, and that's what I want to do. But when I came here, I got like a lot of attention. I came here at the end of 2001, and there were hardly any Asian people in the industry. It was like Margaret Cho.
So
that was like it.
Right. Yeah.
And Henry Cho is a comedian, but he's. No, he's not as mainstream anymore. He's older than me. That's kind of like a mean thing to say. Anyway, but there weren't a lot of visible Asians in comedy and hardly in acting even. And so Sandra Oh, she was like the only Asian on TV, and Bobby Lee was on Mad TV.
Yeah,
at the
Bobby
time.
Right.
He was like the only network series regular at the time when I moved here.
And even then, they had such marginalized parts. Like they
what?
They had such marginalized parts.
Yeah. And so I very, very quickly, like, I got a lot of attention because I was like, I really stood out. I was like this Asian female who could do comedy. And then I was a finalist in the very, very first NBC Diversity Comedy Showcase.
Awesome. Dope.
And so I got like meetings and all stuff. And every single meeting I went to, they said, we love you. We don't know what to do with you. Because there were no Asian sitcoms. There weren't like the Asian sidekick on every show. Like that just didn't happen yet.
Right.
And really like blacks and Latino were just starting to kind of have their day as like the token minority.
Right.
But Asians were still very off the radar. And so I think it was like an 03 is when I won that. Not won it, but when I was in that contest. And I started the first ever Asian American stand-up comedy showcase. I started at the Laugh Factory, and then I moved to the Improv, and then I did it at the Friars Club, and there used to be a Friars Club here in LA. And it, like almost every Asian comic you can think of who's like a big name now, like they all performed on it, and they were all trying to get stage time.
Yeah.
Couldn't get it, or like just weren't being seen, you know. But like Bobby Lee's performing at Ken Jeong, Randall Park, Joe Coy, like all those comics that we all know now, they're all on shows and stuff. Like we all used to perform together, and we're also Jerry Bednar, like we're so supportive of each other.
You have
that's
to
good.
Be
that's, yeah.
that's the like only that. Way yeah. to make any movement
yeah.
is
that's
to
the
be
thing
like
is
that.
That's just like there's no reason for us to be competitive because
no.
if one of like we're so underrepresented. If one of us gets something good,
it's for
we
all
can
of
pull
us.
The rest
yeah.
through.
Yeah.
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 Like, yeah.
The more visibility and more like oh what we can
it'll
see.
Just create more jobs. Yeah.
yeah. And now look like these guys are just blown up and I'm sitting here being interviewed by you. So.
Yeah. Hey, that's blowing
yeah,
up.
Like, hey, come on. It's still hard, for, like you said, for Asian females in comedy, though.
Oh,
you don't know.
For,
like, because you have Bobby Lee and Joe Coy. They made it, like, out.
It's hard for
the
Asian
community.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
yeah.
Exactly. It's hard for the Asian community in America in general because there's just such polarized views of, like so many, you know, there's this the stereotype that Asian men are not handsome or, like, aren't like attractive, and then which is
now,
such bullshit.
Yeah,
yeah
right.
it's changing, yeah.
But it's definitely for the guys, it's changing. For it's the changing. Women, it's still about like being sexy. And
yes,
being
yes,
pretty.
You have
and
to be
like,
specific.
And
yeah,
yeah, and like I mean, not to knock any of the Asian women who are like killing it right now, but they're not in comedy for the most part.
Right, and
they're
like the sexy part,
and they're all very like beautiful, and skinny,
right,
and
right.
like. Because, like, you know, women in comedy have always, for years, have always been like, oh, you got to be kind of, like, fat or ugly or
yeah,
lesbian
for
or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
For people to consider you to be funny.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
The
yeah.
standard is still out there, even though people don't want to admit it.
I experienced that through Black. Because sometimes I swear, it's like, why can't, because I like hosting, as you see, and it's like, a lot of the hosting parts go to the bigger Black women, and
yes.
it's like because they think they have big personalities. It's like, well, what do I have
that's
to
what
do?
They think people. That's what people want to laugh at.
Yeah,
right.
A lot of times,
yeah, you're right. You're
as
totally
an
right.
Actress, people like debate me on this. I'm like, trust me, it's true. As an actress, whenever I get called into auditions that are for comedy role, I usually get called in as a wild card. I'll walk into the room, and I'll be the only one of my type there, and 99.9% of the time, it's me and a room full of heavy-set Black girls.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm like, what the hell am I doing
that
here?
That is so interesting.
Because that's what they think, like, who can be a funny
that's
woman.
The shake-up, yeah.
And
yeah.
it almost always will go to a
heavy-set I'm telling you.
Yeah. I know. Which I'm like, good for her. I'm glad she's booking it. But it's like, why are you calling
broaden
me
it. Can you broaden it a little bit? You know what I mean?
It's weird.
It's other types.
It feels so weird. Like, I'll walk and I'll be the only Asian woman under, like, 200 pounds in the room. And I'm like, I don't understand.
What
like,
am I doing here? Yeah.
Just broaden
right.
the scope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
Okay, Amy, how do we find you?
You can find me. My Twitter handle and my Instagram handle is the Amy Anderson, like the word the, T-H-E.
Great.
Amy Anderson. Because some other bitch already got Amy Anderson.
Oh.
It's a really cool
yeah.
name.
Yeah.
It's like being named Joe Smith in the Midwest. So, yeah, it's the Amy Anderson on Instagram and Twitter. And also on my Facebook is comedian Amy Anderson.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Amy.
And we're going to go on a hike for real this time.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello.
How are you?
So who are you?
I'm Brooklyn. My name is Brooklyn Jones. I'm a stand-up comedian. Thank you.
Brooklyn Jones.
Yeah.
That's a good name.
Thanks.
I can just like hear it. Like, we got Brooklyn Jones.
Exactly.
So
good.
I already know it, but I'll let you ask.
What?
Like, what do you do?
Oh.
Yeah, what do you do?
Okay, well, I'm a stand-up comedian. I'm an actress. I also do a lot of parodies. I've been doing parodies online lately.
What kind of parodies?
So, I've been doing parodies to popular rap songs. So the latest one that I did was to Cardi B's Bodak Yellow.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't dance tomorrow. I make money moves.
Yeah. I also did one for Beyonce's Drunken Love and Iggy Azalea's Fancy.
Yes.
So those are up right now on YouTube and on my Facebook page.
You're taking back that Iggy Azalea.
Right, exactly. I know, I got such weird like responses. Positive ones, but they were like, I like this one better because the girl's black. I'm like, okay. Yes. I personally liked Iggy Azalea's version, but you know, to each his own.
I like her too, but a little appropriative.
Yeah, I mean,
a little appropriative.
She appropriates black culture, and I think it's a little offensive, like, just the way she tries to mimic our accents, our dialect. Yes, like, just be yourself. Yeah. If you speak with an Australian accent, then rap with one. Yeah, don't try to have a black accent. Right. Like, you don't have to do that.
Well, the biggest thing that I have against her is that she doesn't, like, say it. Say that you.
And she's not apologetic. She's like, I can do. No, you can't.
Right.
Say that you're influenced by that.
She's supported.
That inspires
just acknowledge.
You.
Yeah.
Well, she's supported and backed up by T.I., yeah. So she probably feels justified in it.
But right. We stopped after she started telling everybody off. She was She was snapping back at everybody.
Oh, really?
He got like, silent then. He was like,
oh, I didn't know that. I don't pay that much attention to her to know like much detail.
My favorite thing is that Azalea Banks goes after her, and I just love
because
it.
Because she stole Azalea Banks' name.
Yes, no, literally. Yeah, yeah. No, and I love that. It's like, it's
best. Azalea Banks, she's a little nuts, but she's one of those nutty people that sometimes make sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yes. Like that crazy guy yelling on the corner.
Yes.
But if you listen close to what he's saying, he's actually saying some real shit. That's Azalea Banks. She's like the nut that makes sense if you listen closely.
She's like Boomhauer on King of the Hill. The guy who mumbles. I don't know if you watch
Yeah, I don't watch that, but I'm going to take your word for it.
He mumbles and he says sentences that don't really make sense. But then if you actually like listen
pay attention to
what
you're like, oh,
he's
like,
the smartest one.
Yeah,
on the show.
That's Azalea Banks.
Yeah.
But people don't pay attention because she's crazy. You know, like she's a little nutty. Yeah. So people are like, I'm not listening to that shit. But if you really listen, she has sanity mixed in with that.
She just comes at it from a crazy way. Yeah.
But I feel her being mad that Iggy Azalea stole her name because that was just blatant disrespect.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
That is some bullshit.
I like her because, I mean, she got to work out how she's young.
Yeah.
I think she's been living for a long time. I mean, she's an artist. She was famous.
I like her. Yeah. I mean, everybody's a little nuts.
What was your influence on doing parody?
For which
parodies?
One?
For all of them.
Like, oh, well.
That's a lot of talent. I've seen
thank
it.
You.
And it's like, you have to, even the other people that are in the videos with you, you know, you have to direct and write and the music.
Yeah.
And that's a lot.
It is a lot. Well, when I was younger, from the age of like 12 or 13, I was a rapper.
Oh,
and I rapped.
That's where Brooklyn Jones come from, the name.
No, that comes from comedy. I had a whole different name. But I was a rapper all through my teenage years. I was on 106 and Park Freestyle Friday. I won a couple of times. So then, like, as I started to get older, I was like, being a rapper is kind of dumb. Like, I'm too old to be running around doing my own. I'm a rapper. You know what I mean? And for a while, I was kind of stagnant. I didn't know what I wanted to do. But people always tell me I'm funny. They're like, you're funny. You should be a comedian. And I heard it so much that I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
And I tried it, and I liked it. I've been doing it ever since. And then one day, I was just listening to Beyonce's Drunken Love, and I was just fooling around making up funny lyrics to it about food, and it started to take form to a real thing. So I was like, you know what? I want to make a video for this. I think that would be funny.
Yes.
And I did a video, and it kind of went viral, and then, I don't know, that kind of birthed me doing parodies. So I'm able to incorporate rap into my comedy.
Yeah,
so it came
so
like
great.
Full circle.
Now I don't feel so bad. I'm like, how's she able to do comedy, rap, acting? That's too much talent. But you've been a rapper. So
I was a rapper.
I was like,
and
can't do it all.
And of course, I don't have the budget for like big budget videos. So I just do it myself.
Yeah.
You know, I grab a few friends and borrow someone's camera. And we just freaking do it. And then I was like, damn, I got all this good footage, but I don't know how to edit it. So I just taught myself how to edit in like iMovie. So I just edited it myself. And then the Cardi B video, I have a friend, the guy who I collaborate with has his own recording studio. So he let me record in his studio. But then when I was ready to shoot the video, I didn't have anyone to do it with me because nobody had time. And I wanted it done really quickly. I was like, I need this done in like the next 2 days.
Because
parodies are time sensitive.
Right.
And everybody was just too busy for me. And I ended up having to do it by myself. Like I literally shot the entire video all by myself. I had no crew. I hung a green screen up in my room. I set up the camera on a tripod.
Yes.
And then I'd be like, action. I press record, run in front of the camera, do it, run back behind it, stop, check it. And
yes,
I just,
that's
yeah,
amazing.
I just did it myself.
I and then
you're
I,
determined.
I,
you're determined.
Yeah, yeah. When I really want to do something, I'm not going to let other people, you know, stop me from doing it.
Right.
If I don't have anyone to help me, I'm just going to do it myself.
Awesome.
And it came out fairly good. I mean, it didn't come out as clean as my first two parodies because I had more people helping me. But I accomplished what I set out to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was bomb. I love them.
Thank you.
Yeah, because how can you make that rhyme and match the original rhyme and it's funny?
I know. Yeah. I don't know.
And you acting in it too, making it funny. That junk is funny.
Yeah. I try to stay really close to the music and the song. Like, the words often rhyme with the real song, but they're just
different. Different.
So if
yeah.
you listen, it really matches up. But
yeah, that's so dope.
Different.
That's
yeah.
so dope.
Yeah.
Okay, so what advice would you give your... Sorry, hold on. Let me look at this so that
we
I can ask this right.
That we have to get in here.
What advice would you give yourself starting out now, knowing what you know? Like, if you were to go back and give yourself advice when you were starting out, what advice would you give yourself now?
The advice I would give myself back then is probably the same advice that I give myself now. Get up more, you know, because I still don't do that enough as a comedian. I need to get up on stage more.
Me too.
Need to get out more.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not performing, I need to be out at the comedy clubs mingling with people,
yeah.
meeting people, networking. I don't do that enough. Like, I'm a homebody,
mm-hmm.
so if I'm not on the show, I'm not going out. Like, I
yeah.
go out when I have to. If I have a show, if I have a gig, if I'm acting, like, you know, like, if I have to go out, I'll go out. And if I don't, I'm not out, you know? So I have to force myself to go out more and be more out and seen in the community.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let's do it sometimes. I just started doing that, too. Like, just
yeah.
being out. Because it's so hard. I'm
yeah.
a homebody, too. But
yeah.
I'm like, now I'm, like, out
yeah.
every night. Like, if it's an improv night.
Yeah.
It's a Comedy Store night. Like, tonight I'm going to Chocolate
and
Sunday.
You get more
it's
stage
hard.
Time like
yeah.
that. Because you meet people.
And you
like
support other people. Yeah.
Support other people. And they see you. Some people might have forgotten about you.
Yeah.
They're like, oh,
out of sight, out of mind. Right.
I want to put you on my show.
Exactly.
Know? So I notice when I'm out more, I get more gigs. I'm on stage. I'm when I'm in the house, I'm not, you
yeah.
know. So,
exactly.
Same advice. I need to take my own advice.
So, do you think your determination came from you being a Brooklyn native or just the passion for comedy, or both?
It's a combination of a lot of things. It comes from being from New York. The hustle
yeah.
game is hard
yeah,
in New
I
York.
Heard,
like,
I
you
heard.
Really got to push to do anything. Like, you got to fight just to get up
just
some
just
stairs.
A grocery shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
I went to y'all Trader Joe's. I was like, what the hell is going on?
The line goes all the way around and
the
out
line,
the door.
You shop in line.
It's
military.
Yeah.
It's like a line for Beyonce tickets.
No,
yeah.
Literally, you wait
yeah.
outside to get in.
And you stand
and
in line and you just pick off
line.
Stuff the shelf, off the
yeah.
shelf after you're getting closer
yeah.
to the checkout.
Yeah. The time where the Union Square Trader Joe's is the craziest.
Yeah,
it's
nuts.
It's
and that
nuts.
Was like the first one,
that was
I think.
The only one
so
in Manhattan. That was
the
only one in Manhattan.
Now there's like one in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
But they're still like super crowded. But part of my hustle just comes from being a New Yorker. On top of that, I'm a Leo.
Yes, fire.
So, yeah.
You just had your birthday.
Yeah, I did. Last week, actually. And
well, happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it just comes from wanting to see myself make it,
yeah.
you know? And I have such a supportive foundation of family and friends.
I was gonna say, you're very close to your mom.
I'm
too.
Very close to my mom.
A lot.
She's super, super supportive. Like, any dream that I have, she's very supportive of it. So, I mean, I do it for myself, but I also do it for my mom and
yeah.
for my family and friends who, like, really support me and want to see me
yeah.
win. I want them to see me win because they're so invested
enjoy.
In it.
Yeah.
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 That's
a mixture
awesome.
Of all of that.
Yeah.
That's great. What does feminism mean to Brooklyn Jones?
What's what?
What does feminism mean to Brooklyn Jones?
Feminism to me just means equality and not thinking that just because someone is a woman that they can't accomplish something. But on the other hand, I do believe that there are some things that men can do better than women because of their physical strength
yeah, physical
or whatever.
Quality.
You know, that's
right.
a given. That's a scientific fact. However, what we lack in strength, we make up for in smarts.
Yeah.
So they might be able to do something stronger than us. but we can do it smarter.
Yes.
So we can accomplish the same exact things that they can accomplish.
Just in a different way.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they might be able to lift up a boulder with their bare hands, whereas we might have to use leverage. But we'll still be able to pick it up.
Yeah, right.
So people need to stop underestimating women, because we can do everything, you know?
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. I love that. That's great.
Yes.
All right, thank you so much.
So where can we find you?
You can find me. I'm very active on Instagram. So you can find me on Instagram at Brooklyn Jones Comedy. Facebook at Brooklyn Jones Comedy as well. And then I have a website, brooklynjonescomedy.com. And all my social media is linked to that. So you can go on there and see, like, all my social media and my parodies.
Check out them five parodies.
Yeah, check out my parodies, guys. I'm on YouTube, Brooklyn Jones Comedy. Check me out.
Funny on Instagram. We talk every day.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm way too active on Instagram. I'm like, I really need to get a life.
I'm obsessed with Instagram.
I know. It's just Instagram. I take pictures of everything. And I just keep it so real, because people think, like, just because you were on TV that you're doing it big. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But shit, I still take the bus. And I take pictures on the bus all the time. And people are like, wow, you're really at the bus stop. I'm like, yeah, I take the bus to red carpets.
I get off the
bus and get on the red carpet.
Yes.
That's my life right now. It's very paradoxical, but it works. I don't have a car. I've been here for 3.5 years. I don't have a car.
I want to get rid of mine.
What do you take? The train, bus, Uber?
Yeah. Walk.
Yeah, that's what I do. And it gets me places. And I have to go super far. Usually, if I'm going really far, I'm not going alone. I have other friends, so I just hitch a ride with one of them.
Yeah.
It works out.
It all works out.
Yeah.
Well, that was awesome.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you.
We
appreciate you. Thank you so much, Brooklyn Jones.
Thanks a lot. Have fun.